You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Our March Pride event happened over the weekend, along with other events throughout Tāmaki Makaurau over the week. Much commentary from mainstream media was questioning the event in the wake of a number of corporate sponsors pulling out following the Auckland Pride Board's decision to ban police uniforms. Felicia Brown-Acton is a board member to the Auckland Pride Festival Incorporated Society organisation. Lillian Hanley spoke with Felicia to find out more about our march and the history of the Pride events. This is for our Wire Worry Week, which is this week is Pride.
I guess a good way to start would be to ask how your Pride is going.
Well, there's been lots of fantastic things happening throughout Tāmaki Makaurau, Auckland, with in particular Auckland Council having a number of activations throughout a number of different Auckland Council community centres, and they range from things like Miss South Auckland or Queen of South Auckland, drag bingo, sporting competitions, and a number of other craft related things. Saturday, obviously, we kicked off with the march, which brought to Albert Park just over 3,000 people, who then finished in the Myers Park for a bit of a dance and a bit of sit-down. And it was just a really lovely atmosphere of people sitting together, feeling connected, united, and being there in solidarity with each other.
Something that has been talked about in terms of what over the weekend was that it was just a really, really beautiful, wholesome, lovely, loving time on Saturday. Something that hasn't really been, I guess, talked about in the media, because the media's been talking about all of the issues that have happened over the past few months and questioning the success of Pride. Would you be able to maybe break down what would a successful, in quotation marks, Pride look like?
I think the question first and foremost is to ask, who is it a success for? And, you know, when I sit back and sort of observe these things, and being involved in previous Pride festivals and parades on the previous board, I sort of tend to look back and I sort of think, well, in terms of the community participation or community engagement, and when we look back at previous parades, you know, community engagement of rainbow community members involved in the actual parade have always hit between the 1,200 to 1,400 mark. Now, to see a march that brought over 3,000 people, if we're going to apply a measure to that, that has doubled community engagement and participating in something. And for me, that I view as a success. But it also highlights a number of other things that we continue to see as barriers for people that don't participate or haven't participated in previous parades. Floats are expensive. They come at a high cost. Therefore, people become dependent on sponsors, you know, the arduous activities of fundraising just to get lighting, sound systems, the actual vehicle, the decorations, you know, and the manpower behind that logistically. So for a lot of community people, they don't have the means to that. And I think previously there had been attempts to try and partner up corporate sponsors with local community groups, but I don't think that model necessarily has kicked off or done quite well to involve a greater number. So when we're starting to talk about success, you know, for me the measure of success is seeing the amount of people that came from community to participate, that doubled the numbers in terms of community engagement, and that the messages that were promoted were, yes, political, but there was a huge wave of solidarity standing up for, in particular, trans, gender diverse and non-binary communities, who have often been a very silent and invisible aspects of previous Pride parades and festivals. So, I mean, ultimately, who are we talking about, you know, what success is related to? Is it related particularly to a whole big celebration that we're measuring success based on something that's like the Mardi Gras or, you know, previous hero events, or we're actually talking about, you know, community feeling empowered to actually turn up and promote a whole bunch of messages, which is around the political nature of Pride, and actually being provided a platform to have voice and visibility rather than to showcase glitz and glam. I think for me, the success stands in the fact that Auckland Pride itself is for a platform to bring in rainbow communities, to be able to have a platform to be as political as they want, to celebrate and to stand in solidarity with one another. And I think ultimately the board have stuck to that kaupapa, ensuring that the purpose of our organisation provides that platform for community. And for me, I view that as a success, but that's also not to say that there are probably other things that we could have done better. But, you know, again, we haven't had this much community involvement actually speaking up and speaking out around how they want Pride to be reshaped and what they want it looking like in the future. And I think we have a big responsibility as a board to ensure that we're working also with a lot of those others in the community who feel like the parade was cancelled, which took away something from them. And we need to bring them back into the scope of things and just see how we can, you know, work together in the future, ultimately, so that we can, you know, us as a community, the rainbow community, are talking about the success, and it isn't media that is portraying success at a very biased not from a place that is actually promoting or fostering safety and great things about community in general, or talking more so about the community spirit, because that ultimately has been what has been driving this new shape, feel and look of Pride.
In terms of moving forward, I think it's always good to look back, and that's sort of initially why I wanted to talk to you today, just to give us, I guess, some context about the original Pride, I suppose, the original hero parades and how this all started, I guess.
I guess if you wanted to take it right back into the riot days, in, you know, Stonewall days in New York, and actual Pride itself and where that evolved from, and that was as a result of police brutality towards the gay community, and you know, that's the essence of how that came about. But New Zealand historically has you know, through homosexual law reform and the protest around that, to then leading into Hero, and Hero was a fantastic example of a very community-grown, community-led response to ensuring that they had a platform that they were able to politically to protest, whatever that may be, whether it be political, whether it be personal, whether it be about the body. There are a number of different mediums in terms of allowing that platform. And then also about celebration. So there was always about celebration around just the community in general, where ultimately when the first Hero Parade started, they were led down Queen Street. And the last one, if I recall it, was in Princess Wharf in 1993, which was I was a part of, and was sort of probably being the first one. And then it then shifted up onto Ponsonby Road, where I believe that's probably where it started to shift and change, because the Ponsonby Business Association were obviously a partner that were involved in it. There was a general interest, I guess, in business and how that applied. So then the scope of it started to change. And at both times there were big issues around previous mayors like Les Mills and how things about came to be within community and his not necessarily wanting to be supportive of it. So again, there was an uprise of the community being political and standing up to the likes of Les Mills as mayor and also other conservative politicians. So Hero in itself has always been a political vehicle, but also a platform to be able to showcase and celebrate as a community. And there were huge dance parties that happened at the Auckland Showgrounds and Green Lane that were massive productions that included so many people from community. And, you know, when I'm talking about humongous stages with hydraulic lifting machines that would lift people up, and there would be people, I remember we taught here, a very well-known Māori Takatāpui drag queen who did the Age of Aquaria, and she flew from one end of it. You know how big the inside of the Auckland showgrounds is?
Yeah.
She flew across a line that took her right across the whole entire audience of thousands of people right up onto the stage to do her huge performance. We had the fabulous Bertha, who came out of this humongous mechanical hydraulic lotus that just had hundreds of performers, and then they did a Egyptian Cleopatra number. There were Pacifica, there were Maori performances. It was just a huge celebration of community, and it's things like that that I reflect on in terms of community spirit that I think has sort of shaped itself to be a bit different in terms of how we are prioritizing the key issues that are impacting. And it's almost like I think where pride has sort of come into the space is that we are all now absolutely free because we have rights. But I think a lot of people are starting to forget that there are still a lot of people within rainbow communities who are marginalized, who are vulnerable. When we think about transgender, gender diverse and non-binary people, how they're not protected under the grounds of discrimination within the Human Rights Act 1993, and how that needs to be amended. New Zealand has just gone through the Universal Periodic Review in Geneva at the United Nations, and they've had three strong key recommendations from Iceland, Australia, and I think it was Mexico, I could be wrong, Chile, sorry, who have basically said New Zealand needs to look at their protections and their rights for trans, non-binary, gender diverse and intersex peoples. And that's as a result of, you know, that whole scenario around the fact that we're celebrating or we're promoting this message that we are this inclusive, fantastic community. But I think we've sort of forgotten along the way that we're not all there yet. And it's that whole thing around is we're not free until we're all free.
Felicia is speaking at an event tonight called What's Up Auckland Pride Activist Gala, which is an event for different activist communities to bring to the table the problems they are facing at the moment. So head along to Wynyard Quarter at 7 o'clock tonight if you're interested in that.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.